This morning I'd like to discuss the topic of changing job, locations, or career. I think how many of you have moved or changed jobs one time? Can I see your hands? Okay. Was it a problem? Yeah, it was. It was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Why should I do it? What are my motivations? How will this affect the children? I'm going to take them out of school in the middle of the year. But you know, the fact is that moving and changing jobs in the United States is simply a fact of life. People in the United States move on the average of once every 4 to 5 years. And that's whether you're in the military or not. In fact, the way it's going in the military, I think they're going to become more stable. And the others are going to be moving more. I remember about a year ago, a good friend of yours and mine, I believe that many of you would know this couple, lost his job through being laid off out at one of the electronics firms out on Garden of the Gods Road. And he really looked diligently for work, rode around to many companies, and just really couldn't get what he wanted, or really even what was a good job offer. And so they struggled, were out of work for some while, and finally made the decision to go back to school and to work on a further degree and to update himself. And we got a Christmas card from them this Christmas. They were extremely happy at what they did. God is blessing and really encouraging them, and I'm sure will provide a job out of the schooling situation. So you may have been laid off. There are times that you may get fired. There are times when the job is so much of a pressure to you that really you ought to get out of there, or you need to move location. There may be problems with your family, such that you just need to remove your children from a particular environment. I think there have been people who have been in the Los Angeles area that have really made that decision. Friends of mine at various times in the military have despaired at being assigned to that area, and because of the effect on their family. Now, there are a lot of causes for change, and today I'd like to discuss with you what some of these key factors are in changing your job and your location. Now, this is a chock-full session, and we're going to take practically all of our, well, I'm sure we'll take all of our time. So if you want to ask, I probably won't have much time at the end for questions. I imagine I'll go right smack up to the minute or over. So if you have questions, you probably ought to ask as we go in our session today. Now, I've tried to identify what the factors are that you've got to consider if you are going to change a job on your own volition, or if you're going to change locations, or if you're going to change career. You may not have a choice on changing your job, but often you will have a choice on changing locations or changing career. These factors are, first of all, you must consider your family, your children, your wife. There were times in our changing of jobs and locations that I believe it got very, very heavy on Mary, because I would just roar from one place to the other and pick up right where I left off and leave most of the work of the move to her to try and resolve and getting the kids squared away. But I'll get into that further later. Another factor to consider is your church and spiritual involvement. Your job may be great, and the opportunity may be fantastic, but you know that when you move, you may not get the same kind of help that you desperately need at a certain point in your life, spiritually. Also, it may be that you have a ministry here that you feel God wants you to stay here for. I know I turned down Command and Staff College when I was in the Air Force at one point, because I felt that God wanted me to remain at the Air Force Academy for another year. Very bad career decision, but it was one that we felt that God was leading in, and ultimately they didn't put that as a bad mark on the record. They just delayed me. Now, they could have said, well, you've turned it down, that's it. And so you take some chances when you make decisions like that, but yet they may need to be made. The other factor to consider is your job. What is the job? Many times we are not realistic about the new demands in a new job. And your expectations of what you will get in that new location may be very unrealistic. What is your motive? Could you possibly be running away? In fact, on this business of church and spiritual involvement, back to that just a moment, you've got to ask yourself the question, why has God put me here now? See, there is some purpose. And you need to identify that and see how that is affected by a possible move. The other is sounds simple, but is rather complex, and that is simply God's will. What does God want you to do? All of reason, all of everything could be set aside because God is giving you personal direction to go in a certain place. In Genesis it says, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. There is a step of faith that is involved if you know that you have God's will in a particular circumstance. Now let's discuss some valid reasons for change. Those four things were the key factors to consider. Family, church, your job, God's will. Now let's talk about some valid reasons for change. I'm going to move fast on some of these because they could all be expanded on. In the work that we have done, there's an entire chapter that has a lot of other things. I'm giving you a basic outline, and there are more details that will be included there. But I want to dwell on the area of the family first. A valid reason for change may involve the family, and there are several things in the context of the family that may force you to a job change, or a location change, or a career change. Like if you are in sales and it's just taking you all the nights and you're never having any time with your family, that may be a reason that you ought to change jobs. The first is health problems. It may be that a particular area is a great difficulty for one member of your family in the area of health. Many people have made moves on this. In terms of asthma, climactic conditions, and a number of other things. And I think we could also speak to certain emotional health problems, that a particular circumstance is just so bad that it simply isn't working within the family. The other is the children's schooling or circumstances. I recently counseled with someone, and I was trying to help another individual relating to their teenager, and I counseled with one of the pastors here. And as we were discussing the problem, said, well, one option is that the people can move to another city to get their child out of that circumstance. And this especially could happen with teenagers. There may be a time where the children are in such a very poor associational problem, that is with their classmates or whatever it may be, that you just may need to pick up and move. It may be the only way to get them out of it. Or the schooling may be bad, or some other problem with the children. That certainly is a valid reason for change. Another may be a frantic activity cycle, which you just don't have the intestinal fortitude to break. Or for some reason you can't. You've gotten into such an activity cycle that about the only way to get out of it graciously is just to leave. And now I don't know that that is a good way. I think there are other ways, but I do think it's a possibility. Some people just simply need to get a new start in a lot of areas, and that is a possibility. For the same reason, you may need to stay here and break it because you'll do the same thing where you go. The other is company pressures. Now, certain jobs have put certain pressures on the family which really are hurtful. And it may be that is such that the only way to get out of it is to change jobs. Okay, a little focus here. Okay, you may need to change jobs. So those are some reasons for change that relate to the family. Okay, do you have any question on that? Or anyone that you might want to add? I think there are more. It could be you're the one that in the family is giving it a problem, and since you are so involved with the job and everything, that it's hurting the family, but that really is the company pressure. You happen to be the company. and you're putting it on yourself. Okay? Now let's just go on a little bit to some of these other items. Another possibility would be that your company moves you. Certainly if you're in the military, you really do not have a choice. Or if you're with a certain company, they just simply say, well, if you're going to stay with us, then you move. But remember, you don't have to move. Even in the military, you don't have to move. You can leave. Now, I don't necessarily advocate that. I think that's a little bit of the deal when you sort of sign up, that you do have to encounter certain things like that. And moving is not bad. But it may be that the company moves you. The next thing would be that you just simply want a new job. You may be dissatisfied where you are, and that you've prayed and your motives are right, and you need to get into a new job which may involve a new location. I think that would certainly be a valid reason for change, and you certainly can consider changing jobs without changing location. That is a possibility if the area has the kind of thing that you're going for. Now, very often schooling will take you out of the area for a period of time because often you can't get schooling right where you are. Another thing, as I mentioned, and I mentioned it under the area of the family, is health. There just may be some health problems that mean that you need to move. Another is a ministry opportunity. I remember when I first sensed from God that He may be leading me to Colorado Springs, it was actually 3 years before we came, 3 to 4 years ahead of time. The seed was planted in my mind, I believe by the Lord, although it came through some other circumstances, of the possibility of teaching at the academy. And one of the things that was uppermost in my mind was the opportunity to work with students and to minister to them from the inside, because I knew it was closed from the outside at that time, back in the early 60s. There may be something that God has specifically for you. I have a friend down in Albuquerque, Dr. Ken Turian, a brilliant scientist. He is Armenian from Lebanon, and he has a real heart for the Armenian refugees who have come out of this Lebanese situation, and each month now he gives a weekend to going to Los Angeles to minister to groups of Christians and his relatives and various others in that situation. And he is seriously praying now about leaving his position in Albuquerque to go to Los Angeles. Now, he doesn't want to go to Los Angeles. When we were staying together a couple of months ago, he just said he really doesn't want to go. He has job offers all the time. But he said God may be leading him to this particular ministry and leading him to a move for that particular reason. Another may be that you simply need to have a new start. New career, new circumstances. I had a fellow that was in a conference last summer who had a lot of contact with the navigators in the past. He was out on a job by himself up in Wyoming, and because of his temper and his immaturity, he felt he had effectively ruined his Christian testimony because he'd get mad and he would swear. He said, there's no way I can gain back my testimony. Now, the company has offered to move him to a different location, and he is going to take that. And it was a turning point in his life. He just didn't see how he could ever recover his testimony in his job. And that may well have been true. Not everybody is an expert at redoing relationships and trying to recover from something. It takes a long time. So it may be that there is a reason is just to get a new start, a new lease on life, new friendships, new ministry. I think that can be a valid situation. Now, I'd like to talk about the problem of being laid off or being fired. I have being fired in a separate category, but everything that I share in this is in the area of being laid off. Now, in the whole process, as I'm sharing with you today, I'm not including a great deal of Scripture, but through the period of time that we have been talking together, you know that we have tried to lay a foundation biblically for work, continually pressing certain spiritual issues. I think there's one passage that I would share with you today. There are a couple of them. One is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And that whole passage is very, very important in this whole situation. says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than clothing?" And God has a plan for you. God is going to care for you. And regardless of what happens, that which is outside your control is in God's hands. And I think that many times, though we get uptight, we get worried, we get very anxious, and we try to figure out what we have done wrong in the process of being released from a job in one way or another, and there are many lessons to be learned. But I think at that point, we've got to go back to the Scriptures and realize that God is in charge of our lives. Another passage, and someone can help me with a reference here, where it says, say now, you who say, we are going to go to such and such city and engage in business. What is that?
James 4.
James 4. Okay. Somehow my mind wasn't working on that when I was thinking that. Yeah, James 4, 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Well, that's a statement, isn't it? You know, none of us knows what tomorrow will bring for any of us. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin. Now, I believe that God is in charge of our lives, and God is going to lead us. And so when you get into a circumstance of great difficulty, like I believe you may be when you lose a job, and you say, now what is God doing? I had a young man call me recently, I may have mentioned this, and he's an Air Force Academy graduate, and is being released from the service because he's been passed over twice for permanent captain. And which is a very unusual thing. And he said, Jerry, I just get tired of failing. You know, when's God going to give me some success in my life? Well, it's a hard thing to go through. And so I would like to try and lead you through a process of what I think you can do when certain things happen to you. The first thing to do is to thank God. You may not feel like it. You may want to curse God. But I think the act of the will and thanking God in everything, give thanks, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thank God. And I think you'll have to do that daily and constantly in the process, because bitterness comes in and begins to get you. The second thing is to list lessons that God may be trying to teach you in this process. To try and list out some things that God may want you to learn. He may be doing this in this area of your life to get your attention in something else. The next thing is to take a complete financial inventory. It may be zero. Well, if it's zero, you know, that's what it is. Take a complete financial inventory. Find out what things you really have. If you have two cars, you may need to sell one. If you're in a certain high rent district, you may need to go into another circumstance for a period of time. Take a complete financial inventory as to where you stand, and then make a determination that with what you have, how long can you last financially? And now God may intervene and give you much more and lead you beyond that, but you need a picture of where you stand, and once you start getting this stuff down on paper, you'll find that the anxiety level starts decreasing just because you've got it down on paper. Have you ever been in a situation where you're so confused that you just kept thinking about it at night, and then you say, oh, I forgot this, and what about this? And then you realize, I've thought of that 25 times now in 3 days. And the only thing to do is to get up, do whatever you want, and write it down. And that starts to make you sense that you are in control of things in terms of that aspect of your life. Then to go through a severe budget reduction. Reduce your budget. Don't use your credit cards. You know, forget those things, cut them up, burn them, whatever it takes, and just severely reduce everything that you are doing that is costing money. Don't drive the car as much. You know, just everything you can think of. And that has to be a family affair. I think the kids, if they're, you know, above 8 or 9 or so, I'm not sure what age exactly, they need to be brought into your counsel in this area. Because kids do not understand this sort of thing many times, and they have to see that God is going to work and provide. They know you're out of work, or whatever the case may be. Now, some of this may be for future for many of you. You can go to sleep if you don't think you need it. Some of you, most of us will probably need it at one point in our lives. The other is to counsel together in the family. Get the family together, discuss it with them, and see what suggestions various of the family have. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said when they worked, well, I guess it was probably Pete. Hannah, you're sitting back here. Pete was telling me that when he was a kid and he worked in New York, I believe it was, that all the kids worked after a certain age and you just threw your check into the pot for the family. I mean, because that was the need. You know, it wasn't get your own spending money. Now, we don't live, we're a little too affluent to live in that kind of a situation perhaps now. Okay, the next one is get your church and friends praying. I think many of us become embarrassed when we're in difficult circumstances. I recall a situation last year that it was brought to the deacon board that this person was without a job, could not get a job, and we wanted to give some money from our deacon's fund. And I was a little bit wondering, why didn't I know about this? You know, why did it have to be such a secret? Why hadn't it been shared with the church the need of a brother in Christ? Not necessarily broadly and openly from the pulpit, but at least so that individuals would know as it was going on instead of when the crisis level came and there was nothing. I believe you ought to be willing to share with others and get your friends praying. Now, in that regard, I think you need to learn to accept, but not to expect. Help. Do you see the difference? Many of us don't want to accept help. Money, a part-time job, we're just too proud. But I think we need to learn to accept it, but not to expect it. In other words, we're not communicating with the church so that everybody will come help us. But to get them praying, and I think you need to deal with the motives in this thing. The other thing is inform your out-of-town friends and relatives. Many of us don't say a thing. We are too embarrassed to write and tell your brother that you are without a job or whatever the case may be until it's almost too late. Let your Christian friends know. They may see something. They may know of a circumstance that would be useful to you. They may have suggestions for you. They may have a job opportunity. Just any number of things could happen. I don't think you need to be telling everybody all your problems, but I think we ought not to be totally secretive about it. In the Eternity magazine of, Eternity or Moody, of about a year ago, year and a half ago, there was a little article, and it said when your husband's out of work and the church just smiles. You remember that one? Okay, well, now that often is the situation. And perhaps you have felt uncomfortable around someone who was out of work simply because you didn't know what to say. Well, that shows us the depths of our friendships, you see. Because we ought to be able to just ask the question, well, how are you doing? What, you know, are there some needs? Can I help in some way? Or without even asking, just help. And somehow we need to have a little bit more of the body concept as it relates to those things and not just standing up and sharing on Sunday evening. That, I think, is just the surface of a body relationship. The real relationship of the body happens in how we interact with one another, both in times of need and in times of health, and how we get behind one another and help one another. Okay, now begin the job search immediately. You've got to, once you've done some analysis, begin looking for work immediately. The other thing is to apply for unemployment benefits. Now, I've had a discussion at various times on this. Now, in most places, the company has insurance, unemployment insurance, and you have actually contributed toward it. And in that article, when your husband's out of the work and the church just smiles, they pointed that out, some details on that. It is not wrong. That happens to be our system in this country. Now, if that's all you're depending on, and you're doing something just to reap, sort of live off the land, well, that's a different problem. That's a spiritual issue. Now, some of you may be much more aware of all the details of that than I am, but there is provision in that sense. Now, this one you may not like. I believe that when you're out of work, you ought to work 8 hours a day, and that 8 hours needs to be put in to job hunting. Or job preparation. I don't know what, going out and visiting people, going out and getting interviews, writing letters, making phone calls. And I realize at times you will run out of, depending on how long it is, of contacts to make. But that is not the problem that I usually see. What I usually have seen is the person just sits and does nothing and frets and worries and is anxious instead of getting out and hitting it. I've had some very interesting illustrations in the last 2 or 3 years. There have been several men who have come to our city to train with the Navigators. And we have asked them to move here for about a 2-year period for a specific reason. I find that the single men who come to the city generally are very lackadaisical about getting a job. They sort of wait a week. Oh, if it doesn't get done this week, maybe next week, and check around, because they can kind of live on, handouts or live in my house or whatever it is, living with one of the others. They sort of get by. But the married men who come who have 2 or 3 kids, let me tell you, they are out after it. And they are out visiting people because they've got mouths to feed. It's just been an interesting observation that I've made of the difference in the motivation. Well, I learned something. The guy who really wants to find it will be out after it. And I think it's very important that we really apply ourselves. For instance, I think one of the things that needs to be done very quickly is to begin preparing some kind of a resume. Now, and you've got to do that well. A summary of your job experience, what you've done, and what you'd like to do. Now, there are some of those, if you just sit down yourself and write the thing, you say, man, I can't, I'm like, as in the, Dave made in the announcements, that word spelled backwards. If you'll get that in the next, when you go to church soon. But, you just can't write anything. You're lucky to sign your name. Great, get help. Have someone help you write it. I have often done that with guys that were looking at jobs. I'd have them write a resume and let me read it. I'm not that good at it, but at least I'm somebody else. And critique it. There are books in the library about exactly how to write a resume and what to put in it. Now, you need to do that. You've got to be aggressive in those sorts of things. Now, God ultimately, of course, is going to get you the job. But if God wants you to have work, then you do need to make some steps like this. Okay, now, in the process of job hunting, seek personal interview with the person who does the hiring. People that I've talked to and the information I've been able to get says that you must seek a personal interview. Do not accept necessarily the word of a person who does not have the responsibility for the hiring. Because if you can get into the person who actually has the decision on his hands, you will find your chances are at least doubled of getting a job. I remember one time I was desperate. I was in school, I was out of money, I was going to have to quit school, and I interviewed for this particular job, and I had zero experience in it. And the guy called and told me that they were not going to offer, let me take the job, and I said, this is my last opportunity. And right on the phone, I talked him into giving me the job. I wouldn't let him off the phone. And I told him what I had done in the past. I know I haven't had it. I'm willing to learn. I've done this. And he gave me the job. Because I knew that you know, I was desperate enough, I didn't want to stay in school. And so I needed to be able to do that. If you will really work at it, just the attitude that you have, as long as you're not abusive, I think will help you a great deal. Okay, the other thing is make a list of part-time, less desirable jobs. Now, you will always find those. Now, there is a conflict sometimes in that it may eliminate your unemployment. But then again, that unemployment is going to run out after a certain period of time. And so I think you need to be willing to take a part-time or a night job. Now, if this is not the job in which you are going to work, I recommend, initially at least, taking it part-time or in the evenings so that you can use your daytimes for searching and for making certain contacts. Now, it's not always possible, but I'm just sharing with you some of the ideal of these things. And by the way, you just got to swallow your pride and be willing to take some work that isn't quite as nice as you'd like. Yes, Mark?
Two questions here. First of all, the unemployment office says that they don't expect you to take a job that is less desirable than the job that you had previously, I'll only go with that. And
yeah.
The second thing I had to ask is, what about, how fair is it to the employer who hires you for that part-time job
Well, let me just, the questions were that the unemployment office says don't take a job less than what you want. And the second question is, how fair is it to the employer? On the first, the unemployment office doesn't have to pay your kids. I mean, feed your kids. And so you've got to balance that in that way. Now, I know what their goal is, and yours should be the same. But at this point, I'm not saying do this immediately. But the fact is, you do have to get bread on the table later on, and you may need to wait for certain jobs, and you know one's coming up, and you may need to take it. So I don't know how to answer that exactly, Mark, but I do know that we've got to be willing to get out and work when there is some work available. Yes, Fred?
Don't you find that if you have a part-time job, it shows these people that you're making an effort, and you're more employable from a working position?
It may be that if you have, yeah. Yeah, they know you're out after it, and they know if you've got a family that you're really having to hit it. Now, on the second one, I think we just have to be honest with our part-time employer. As a Christian, I think that's just something you've got to do. Tell them, I am looking for other work. I need work here. I'll work for you well, but I am looking for a job. Now, I may lose you a few, but then again, and then if it's a kind of thing that could work into something else, you just say, well, if this really is a job that I like, and there are further opportunities, certainly I'd consider that. But I think just honesty is what we have to use in that process. Mark, yes?
I think you mentioned a verse a few weeks ago, that if you don't work, you don't eat.
2 Thessalonians 5:10. Is that right? 3:10. I think 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Okay, Mark.
I asked that first question because when I started my full-time job, I actually took a $15 a week loss for my unemployment.
Right.
And so I'm saying sometimes unemployment pays better than you can find work.
Oh, yes. That's probably an unfortunate aspect of our job, of our society, that unemployment does pay better. However, I must not say that too crassly, but the unemployment benefits would run out after a while, as I understand. They're time limited, are they not? Okay, so that's thing. It may not be that you do it right away, but yet, just for, you know, how many of you just have been out of work at one time or another in your life, and you've just been around to where you've done what you could, and you just had to sit and wait? Have some of you been in that? Kind of hard, isn't it? You know, your wife would like to see you go mow the lawn, walk, do anything to get out of the house. Okay? Yeah. Okay, now, use an employment service. In certain professions, you're going to pay a pretty penny, 10% of your first year's wages, but it is a job. And if you have the kind of a skill that is marketable, then you need to really pursue that and use an employment service. Okay, the other thing is consider the possibility of retraining or schooling. You should not eliminate that from your mind, because it may be that what was once a good field is not now. For instance, my training is in the area of aerospace, Well, aerospace, the bottom just fell out of the bucket. And many of my friends, you know, when they have had to seek employment in other areas, fortunately their training qualified them for this because the techniques were the same, the application just different. But they had to readjust their entire career. Another thing, and you may not like this, and there may be biblical problems here and there, but the wife should consider working. I think that it is a family affair, that our objectives, if you're together as a couple, there are times when the wife may need to work, and very frequently a woman can get a job easier than a man. Now, if the man is not working in this circumstance, then you must adopt certain of the household responsibilities during this period of time, men, because you just can't expect your wife to go out and work and you not do anything, expect her to keep everything else going. Now, I don't like that one. I think there should be better ways. There are a lot of problems that involve between the couple if this goes on very long. But yet it is something that we should consider in the process. The other thing is to consider a location change. You just may need to move. It may not be available where they're skiing. Okay, so we have got to consider things like that. All right, now this last one is probably the most important. I believe that God brings these things into our lives so that when we have a little more time on our hands, though you may be worried, to improve your walk with God. Study the Word. Use that time for getting some extra time with the Lord and some help in your own personal life. When before your excuse was so busy, now it'll be, I'm too worried. And see, God's got to deal with both of them. So let's really consider improving your personal walk with God. Yes.
Chair, one thing I don't see on that list, and I wondered if you were going to cover it later, is just waiting on God.
Yes, I have it in there later, but that is very, very important. See where that does come here. It comes under the little section on finding God's will. Yeah, just waiting on God. Now, there are probably 35 things. I am not omniscient or anything else on this kind of thing. And I think if we brainstorm, in fact, if you have some, just jot something down on one of those cards. I'd love to have the thing to add. I just tried to go through what I felt would be a process that you could go through in reestablishing yourself in a job if you were laid off. Now, there is a book that I would recommend for those who are maybe without work. It's called What Color Is Your Parachute? Anybody ever seen that? Okay, you have, Chuck, and it's a super little book. It's called A Practical Manual for Job Hunters, and it's put out by Richard Bolles, B-O-L-L-E-S. And let me just, let me write that down, because Richard Bolles, okay, did you get that? What Color Is Your Parachute? And it's by Richard Bolles, and it can be ordered from the 10 Speed Press. They do bicycle books. I don't know how they got this one. Okay, 10 Speed Press, box 4310. I have a copy if you want to borrow it. Berkeley, Berkeley, California, yeah. 94704. It's very good, and there's another one that I am just in the process of getting that I'll mention to you that also is very good, done by a Christian in seeking work. Yeah, Chuck?
That book's
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. I didn't know it was. I've never seen it on a bookshelf anywhere.
I've seen it
before. Okay, great. So if it's good to have as a reference, just even if you aren't out of work. Okay? Now, let's go on to the area. What if you're fired? I mean, just outright fired. Now, realize that many layoffs are really being fired. Isn't that true? Okay, in other words, you didn't quite meet whatever it was to make you high enough on the list to keep. Now, let's ask what some major reasons are for a person being fired. There are some major reasons, as I tried to think this through, as to why people are fired or dismissed from their job. And the first is poor work. You just are not doing good work. Now, this is being fired, not laid off. Okay. The second is that the job is beyond your training and ability. A friend of mine, when I was growing up as a kid, he lived across the street from us, and he was working through college, and he went down to Safeway. They had found an ad for a meat cutter. Now, he's a non-Christian, and he says, "Oh, have you ever cut meat?" "Oh, yeah, man, I know everything about it." He never cut a piece of meat in his life. See? Well, he survived. He was able to do it. Now, I don't think Christians should do that. But the fact is, he didn't know anything about it. And when you move into a job that is beyond your training or your ability, you are going to have some problems. And you are going to have to do something to get yourself up to speed. The other is bad relationships. That's a significant cause for being fired, that you just don't get along with people or your boss. And we've talked about that considerably in the previous lesson. The other thing is just making serious errors. That in the process of working, you knew how to do it, you had good relationships, but somehow you just blew some items that were serious enough to make you lose your job. I think one of the key ones is just laziness. We just simply don't do our job well and work hard. Another is undependability, that you cannot be depended upon in the context of your work to get the job done. Now, let's suppose that you've been fired. Okay, you've got those other things. That process still has to be done, the same process that I mentioned earlier. But now, what should you do specifically? The first thing is to determine why you were fired from your job. Because, see, God has some reasons that He got you into that circumstance, or you helped God get you into those circumstances. Or depending on your view of the sovereignty of God, it's like the Calvinist who fell down the stairs and he said, "I'm glad that's over with." Okay, you can. If you don't know the theology, ask me later. Okay, so write down, first of all, what your employer's reason was. What he told you the reason was for your being fired. Now, if he didn't tell you, or if you don't believe that's the real reason, you need to either call him or go see him after it's all settled out. You're off, you're gone, all that. Say, "Listen, I really need help. Now, why was it that I really was fired?" The other is what you think the reason is that you were fired. You know, write down, be honest with yourself, why do you think you were fired? And then write down some things on how you can prevent that happening again. Because you see, unless you do this, that thing will so crank on your mind for week after week after week that it will immobilize you in your ability to proceed. Unless you take time to do that. And I think God has to give you some insight. Okay, now, as you proceed, I think you're going to have to be honest both with yourself and with your prospective employers. That's really tough. But I think you do need to lay the cards on the table and to share what went on. You may lose a job or two. But I think they will appreciate an honesty and a forthrightness. And if you have gone through this process here, then you can be honest and say what you've done. And if it was your fault, see, there are times you've been fired where it really wasn't your fault. That is a possibility. The other thing is really to guard against bitterness. Hebrews 12:15. Don't let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled. And you know who will be defiled? It's your family, your kids. They'll sense that bitterness in your life as they watch you go through that particular struggle. Okay, let me share with you now what I believe to be some questionable reasons for changing jobs or locations. There are some, and there are more than this, but let's at least start with this process now. The first questionable reason is money. Now, I realize that we all like to make more. We want to be paid more for what we do. And there are circumstances when the job you're in simply does not provide to meet the needs of your family. I had a friend who got out of the Air Force about 2 years ago, and he was going to go into teaching in a private military college. But when he found out what the salary was, he simply could not, his family could not subsist on that. Now, maybe they could have, but he felt they couldn't. And so he stopped pursuing that, and he went back to school. And I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he's now employed by another company in a very good position and making enough to keep his family, you know, in the things, in bread and clothes and whatever. So it's not always a bad reason, but most of us, when we think of money, we just think of more. Now, money, it's not bad, depending on how faithful you are with it. But if that is the reason for changing locations, really think it through. The reason for changing jobs, fine. I think that is valid. But when you tear the family out of a system of roots that it has, you must be very careful. So if you are adequately prepared, adequately provided for at this point, think twice in that area. It's not bad, it's just a point. The second is career climbing. There are some companies that say, if you're going to be with us, we want you to sell your life to this company. And unless you move again and again and again and just hop at their bidding, then you do not move up in the career progression that they have for you. So really be careful of this one, because the root of this one generally is pride, rarely fulfillment. Even though you may think, well, I'm just not fulfilled in this job. As I'll share with you in that session on fulfillment, that probably is not the problem. The other is running from problems. If you run from problems, they are going to be exactly the same. They can run just as fast as you can. And when you get to the next job, in fact, they'll have gotten the door and they'll meet you as you walk in the front door. And the same things that happened before will probably happen again, unless you've dealt with the basic issues. Okay, the other is that the company says you've got to move. No, the company can't make you move, unless you're in some type of legal obligation. And that's rare. Even in the military, you can rearrange that as a possibility. They can say no. Jerry Armstrong applied to get out of the military here about 2 years ago, wasn't it, Bob? And the Air Force said no. Well, that's a very clear way to get the will of God. You know, you kind of like that. It's an open and shut door. But yet, in most cases, you can. Now, there are probably many other questionable reasons to change. For instance, you may say, is it too late to change? Some of you in here, as I mentioned earlier, are probably over 35. I saw two or three anyhow. And after you get to 35, it's a little different story. You know, in the 25 to 35 man, you just pick up and throw the stuff in the bag and hope you've got a mat in the glove compartment and take off. But somehow when you cross 35, and you just think twice. There's more trauma to the change. There's more question. You've already seen a little bit of what you can do. So is it too late? Well, probably it's never too late. However, there are some practical considerations that your age is a factor. After you get over 45, it is difficult to get a job in many areas. Now, it may not always be the case, but it is more difficult. The other thing is that one of the things that prevent many people from changing at that point in time is simply finances. That is, they cannot afford. They've got four kids, one starting to enter college, and the financial problems of changing, going to school or whatever, just simply prevent them from doing so. The other is that the family becomes a much more key situation with teenagers, and that you just don't jerk those teenagers out of their root system around where they are and where they're getting some spiritual help or whatever it may be. It is a traumatic thing. In fact, I've known of situations where that boy or girl was entering senior year and Pop had to leave and the kids stayed. They just stayed right back in the other place and lived with friends. Because at that point, your peer relationships become almost more important than the family. It may be tough on you, Mom and Dad, but it's the fact. It does happen. So it probably is never too late to change, but it becomes more difficult as time goes on. Now, Yes.
What about the problem with somebody moving in that later if you have a senior in high school and they know the situation where somebody moved and the high school senior didn't want us to another state, you know, back with her, and their father had an affair overseas, so, you know.
Yeah.
That presents a real problem.
Well, I think at that point, the couple relationship has got to govern it. That is, the man and the woman. And depending on the relationship with the kids, I would say that the kids, in most cases, ought to move, unless you're dealing with a real delinquent problem. And I know it's tough, but they say that the way to love your children is to love your spouse. And unless that relationship is kept, for a period of time. Our neighbors have had a situation. They've just moved. They were separated. He was overseas for a year. The kids all stayed here, and then he went to another assignment. She stayed here. And, boy, taking the father out of that family for a period of time is really a tough issue. God's sufficient, but it's hard. Now, in the last portion of this session, I've got a number of things on how to find God's will. Now, in that process, this could be, of course, a whole lesson. That's why I've written it out in fairly good detail. But I just want to point out a couple things in relation to this and get the book Live Confidently, which has a lot of things on finding God's will or something to get you some help. But the first thing in finding God's will I want to reemphasize is your personal walk with God. You've got to have that personal walk with God up to speed. The first question, are you a Christian? I always start there. Confess, know, and sin. Your daily fellowship with God and obeying what you know right now. The second thing is just to pray. Use the Scriptures. Pray as 1 Peter 3:12. Use the Scriptures, Hebrews 4:12. Examine the circumstances. Where are you? See what I led you through in the being laid off portion? That's examining the circumstances to a great extent. Get godly counsel. Blessed is a man who abides not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, non-Christians can give you vocational counsel, but not spiritual counsel. Personal desire. What do you want to do? And then this one that you mentioned, Mark, patience. Wait on God. Let God show you what He wants you to do personally. Health. Never make a major decision when you're ill, deeply discouraged, or in some point of conflict in your family. Never make decisions in those circumstances because they will always, almost always, be bad decisions. Okay, the other is look for peace in your heart, Colossians 3:15. Make a decision, then wait and see God confirm it. Don't turn back once you know you've had God's will, and then get on with it. Act. Do something. Now, let me point out a couple things just in this last portion of how to pull up your roots when you are going to move and to do it gently so it doesn't foul up the whole family system. And this, again, could be a whole session that we could just work on because it's going to happen to all of you sometime. The first thing is really to prepare. Prepare to do it. Make adequate preparation in terms of the children and so forth. Involve the family in the planning. Involve them in the timing as much as possible and what should be done. Keep them abreast of it. Try and pick the best timing, whether it's June or the middle of the year or whatever it is. Look for the timing that fits the family's needs, or perhaps it's mandatory just because of the job. But often when you change volitionally yourself, when you want to do it, you do have some control over the timing. The other thing is make advance arrangements where you are going. It'll cost you more, but you should go there first, men, and start laying the groundwork, looking for the houses and so forth. And then take time off, both on both ends. Yes, it'll cost you a week's pay, but what you'll save in terms of the family is so much greater. See, most of us men, when we move, yeah, we pack the bags, maybe, and then we may help unpack, but the wife gets the children out of schools, calls the phone company, does all the arrangements, and then we appear to drive the car, we park it and go to our new job and say, take care of it, dearie, and I'm off with my career. And so I think we need to take time on each end to get things settled and get settled quickly. It's important to the family. There are certain things that are not home in the home until some things are settled, especially for the wife. You know, I don't know whether it's the curtains up on there or the pictures hung or whatever it is, but whatever it is, do it. I have a friend who, when he moves, takes a month and does nothing but work on the house and the family until that's all settled. Now, he happens to be in a circumstance where he can do that. But it is something that you need to do. Now, I put some things in how to start a new job. And I don't really have time to cover that. But you can read those over. They're just simple things. Concentrate hard. Do the best right away. Know what's expected. Be a learner. Develop relationships on the job. Put extra effort at the beginning. 110%. 10 and 12 hours if necessary at the beginning to get the thing started. And then be a finisher. Do what you're asked to do. I trust that today these things may have been a little bit of help to you personally. Some of you it's theory because you haven't gone through it. Some of the others of you it is helping you right now. And perhaps it'll minister to you as time goes on in terms of what to do when you're laid off, what to do when you're thinking of changing jobs or location. Let's pray.